So I already kind of alluded that we might talk about something specific today in regards to Jeremiah 10. But before we go there, I think it's important that we get a feel for some things that God has shared with us through his word. So go back to Genesis 4. Genesis 4, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." So we're told pretty clearly that Abel and Cain both knew they were to come before God and bring an offering. We're not told so clearly the very specifics of what that offering was to be or when it was supposed to be, but Cain and Abel knew. Cain chose to, on his own terms, bring whatever it was he thought he wanted to bring. But Abel did something different. Abel brought exactly what God expected of him, required of him. And then God gives Cain a warning for his future. And we kind of know what took place from there. But let's move on. Go to Exodus 32. Exodus 32 and in verse 1. "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, Come, make gods for us. Who shall go before us? As for Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it into a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Something I haven't always paid real direct attention to. Look in verse 4. It says, "And they said," not Aaron said, "they said," someone else other than Aaron said, "These are your gods, O Israel." Part of the contingency that wanted these gods. Verse 5, "When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord. They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. And the Lord said to Moses, Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." So God is been 100% totally disrespected in ways, and he states, from the way that I commanded them. They knew. Verse 9, "The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation. But Moses implored the Lord of his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, It was with an evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on the people. When we get down to verse 20, jump down to that, Moses then took the calf that they had made, burned it with fire, ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. So God was going to destroy all of the Israelites, period. But if it wasn't for Moses' plead with him. It's our Father in heaven is not simply deserving of worship, but worship with the utmost respect. And then we see that the idol was not only destroyed, it was obliterated. It was not going to be remelted into something else. It was gone. Here, a couple weeks ago, some of you might have saw this video. There was a Turkish official who's pro-Hamas. And he's in Turkey's parliament. He's finishing a speech, and at the end, he says that Israel would suffer the wrath from his God, Allah. He didn't even leave the podium. He literally took one step away, and he was down. It didn't sound like he died immediately. It sounded like he died maybe on the way to the hospital or at the hospital. Maybe that's just simply when they pronounced him dead. I can't help but wonder if even those that share his view raised more than an eyebrow at this. I also kind of think I have a strong opinion, feeling that God spends some quality time with us in our very last moments. And I highly wonder what God conveyed to him or what ran through his mind in those very last moments. You know, you and I, if we're tempted by something, we get a queasy feeling in our stomach, whether or not we want to admit it. Something happens internally. We just go, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I just have to have this anyhow. He knew. But so did the Israelites. So did Cain. Go to Leviticus 10. Leviticus 10 and verse 1. Now Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, each took his censer, put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and they offered unholy fire before the Lord, such as he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, through those who are near me, I will show myself holy, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron was silent. And we jump down to verse 10. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean. And you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them through Moses. So God was making it clear, not just to Moses and Aaron, but to the entire remnant, that there is holy and unholy. There is clean and unclean. And especially the fact that God, he is holy, and he will not tolerate anyone bringing anything before him that is profane. Now, what did Nadab and Abihu do specifically? We're not told. But they were told very specifically what they should do. And for whatever reason, they decided, we're kind of in a bind. We put ourselves in a bind, but I think we can get out of it by doing this. God talks a little bit about building a fire, what to use for fuel. And one of the prophets is told to cook over a fire fueled by human feces. And the prophet says, isn't that a problem? And God says, okay, you can use animal dung then instead. Is that what Nadab and Abihu did? Brought in a fuel that wasn't supposed to be used? Maybe. A little bit later on, God tells Moses and Aaron about, not drinking when they're working as the priest. Maybe that was part of it. Maybe their timing was off. It doesn't matter. They knew what they should have been doing and decided to do something of their own. So just in these few examples, we get to see that God vehemently preserves his holiness. And he conveys pretty strongly that we should be doing the same, especially when it comes to worshiping him. Go to Titus 1. Titus 1 and verse 10. There are also many rebellious people, idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Is he talking about males? Well, yeah, maybe. They're supposed to be the head of their household. He's talking about the body. Verse 11, they must be silenced since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for sordid gain what is not right to teach. It was one of them, their very own prophet, who said, Cretans are always liars, vicious brutes, and lazy gluttons. That testimony is true. For this reason, rebuke them sharply so that they may become sound and in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths or to commandments of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Their minds, their very minds and consciences are corrupted. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their actions. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. There's many today and throughout history who want to justify detestable deeds in God's eyes by contending that it is in worship of him. We got an example right there. I wish it wasn't here, but we've been blessed with this room or this space. There was a gentleman that started coming here many years ago, shortly after we started renting this place, and he sat right up here in the front row with his daughter. And he let the whole service go by. He couldn't take it anymore. He raised his hand, and the elder in charge at the time acknowledged him. He just says, I've sat here for all services. He says, what I've heard up to this point, I didn't have a problem with it at all, but why in the world did you put that there? And we had to quickly explain, we didn't. Our landlords did. We don't want that here. And as soon as he heard that, he was like, oh, good, because I thought I was going to have to go find another congregation. Christmas, Easter, that's just some of what people who say they're worshiping God and delve into as part of some of that worship. Halloween? It's not even touted as worship towards God. And it's readily acknowledged to be of evil sorts. But yet somehow, a lot of the Christian community want to say that it's harmless. Because how often in October do we see churches putting up an advertisement for trunk or treat? How in the world would God be happy about that? Malachi 3 and verse 6, God says, I do not change. So what we just read in Genesis and going forward still applies. Yet many are still are trying vehemently how to change the way he should be worshipped. This week I followed a thread online around the question of, you know, the origins of, or should we as Christians be keeping Christmas? And there was somebody from every walk of life, in a sense, that answered or, you know, posted, you know, to that thread. And as I read through all of them, and of those that wanted to say that Christmas was a good thing and here's all the good things about it and it should be pleasing to God and his son, none of them talked about how God wanted to be worshipped. Those that did know the Bible or some of the word, that was really the first place they went was, well, I don't think God wants to be worshipped that way. Shouldn't we worship him the way he wants to be worshipped? Our emotions shouldn't play into this. Because, yes, we can say, I like the look of lights. Not a problem. I like all the glittery stuff. There's a change of mood for quite a few people in the stores. That's positive. But the reason it's all being done is not to worship God the way he wants to be. Go to John 4 and verse 21. John 4 and 21, Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. What does the Father seek? Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So what does that really mean? Well, spirit, there's times when things in life hit us so strongly that we can't help but react. If you're a diehard Lions fan, and early, you know, here a couple months ago, you watched them win the first game, you whooped and hollered. Finally. And then a couple more games go by, and you go, finally. That's a little bit of what Christ is talking about here. When we worship in spirit, it's that deep down it's that we have to pause and we have to acknowledge God for all of his goodness. We're not doing an act where we're looking for some type of acceptance. Not from God, not from his son, not from others in the room. But all of a sudden, we realize God's involved in that. And that's a blessing for me. I want to thank him. I want to share it with others. Truth. That's what I hope we're doing here today. We're seeking knowledge of the truth through God's scripture and the leading of his Holy Spirit on how does God want us to worship him. And then most importantly, as we acquire this truth, we're willing to maneuver closer to God and farther from society's view. We're willing to take the next step towards God rather than the next step towards society's view or our own emotions. Romans 12 and verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the miracles of God, to represent your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, true worship is when we can't help but pause and recognize, because we recognize God's goodness. But that pause of worship is in a manner that pleases him, not simply us. It's when we're overwhelmed by the realization of his love, his plan, and his forgiveness, or our opportunity of salvation. Some of you know the name Horatio Gates Spafford. Receives a telegram from his wife. He's a lawyer in Chicago. This is immediately after the Chicago fire. His wife's been on a ship with their daughters. The telegram just said, "I survived." The daughters did not. And Horatio has to pause and in truth and spirit, he sits down and he writes these words, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Deuteronomy 30 and verse 8. Then you shall again obey the Lord, observing all of his commandments that I am commanding you today. And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all of your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord again will take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, or when you turn with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So again, are we willing to take those, what feels like difficult steps to get rid of one thing and replace it with something that brings us closer to God? John 8 and verse 19. And they said to him, "Where is your father?" And Jesus answered, "You know neither me or my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also." And then John 5 and verse 23. So that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So we are to honor Christ, the Son. But how do we do that? I can tell you, we don't honor him as an infant. We honor him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our High Priest, as the Son of God. To treat him as anything lesser than that, that's not honoring. But yet that's how the world chooses to honor Christ, simply as an infant. Back to Jeremiah 10, which we read before the message. Hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the ways of the nations or be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, for the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are false. The customs of the people. And then it says, a tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of an artisan. People deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with a hammer and nail so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, and they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor is it in them to do good. If this is your very first time reading this passage, and even if with very little education, how does one not realize that God does not want a cut, propped up, and decorated tree being used in any form of worship to him? He stated it pretty clearly here. But it's not just the tree. He's also not glorified or honored or worshipped through bunnies or chocolate eggs, a fat guy in a red suit, reindeer, elves, ghosts or devils. The list goes on and on. Are we taking the time to know the truth, and then be filled with the Spirit to worship him the way that he wants to? John 5 and verse 42. This is Christ speaking. But I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the one who is God alone, who alone is God? If we don't know, love, or honor him, we are not worshiping him. We've got to take time to get to know him. John 5 and verse 46. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? Again, throughout all of Scripture, God has made it very clear how he wants us to worship him. If as human beings we want a God, think there is a God, then we probably want a God who is all-powerful, in charge of everything, right? Because then why would we call it a God? We probably want a God that is all-loving, that cares for all of his creation and wants none to be lost. Because if a God's not loving, why would we want to serve him? Why would we want him as our God? Then we probably want a God that is all merciful, offering redemption from our sins. That's who our Father in heaven is. In great love, he sent his Son for our salvation. With the acceptance of that salvation, we're given opportunity not just for life, but eternal life with him. For that reason, he and he alone is worthy of pure worship. Now, as I stated, there's many out in the world that don't know this, maybe haven't heard it yet, realized it yet. God's not calling them yet. This isn't the time of year that we go bashing them. But we are to be examples. And at times, God gives us opportunities to say, well, I don't do hit that, and here's the reason. And every now and then, one will go, oh, I've never heard that. Or, oh, I've kind of been thinking about that a little bit. Yesterday, I sat down to lunch with one of my coworkers, and her and I very rarely get to talk, or at least for any extended amount of time. She's part-time, so, and with me being part-time, why our schedules don't always line up very well. And she brought up to me that she doesn't have a tree in her house because of all the pagan origins around Christmas. I'm like, what? I didn't know that. That doesn't mean that she's abandoned everything Christmas. But she understands that the origins are pagan, period. And there's no value in trying to worship God with any of that. We'll finish up in Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but you are led astray to bow down to other gods and to serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Some can think that that passage was specifically only for the Israelites at hand at that time. Hopefully, all of us realize that we've been offered the exact same promise of a promised land. We're not there yet. In Zechariah, we're told very clearly that one day everyone will be expected to go to Jerusalem to keep the feast of the Lord. I can't do that yet. I'm not there yet. Which means, just like the Israelites when this passage was wrote, we're in the wilderness. But God wants to lead us out of the wilderness. All those that were at Sinai and worshiped that calf, they died in the wilderness. If we decide to worship God on our own terms, it won't just be the Israelites, Nadab and Abihu, Cain. It'll be our names too. Or will we all one day, because we're drawing as close to God as we possibly can, especially in worship, enter the promised land physically and spiritually, that promise of eternal life, and be in Jerusalem worshiping God's feast? Hopefully we can share this cautiously and lovingly with as many as we're given opportunity for. But in the meantime, what is it that we're still clinging to? We still kind of like, even though maybe we shouldn't. Maybe it's that TV show that, oh, I followed it for the last two seasons. I don't want to miss it. Maybe it's really not the best TV show to be watching. What about the music? What about that online site? There's some things probably we should get rid of. Let's take a step closer to God and a step closer to eternal life.